Good morning, everyone. Let's praise God for our worship team and for the way that we can worship in this space and these songs can declare the scripture. My name is Justin Stofa.
And I'm Wyatt Gaytrost.
Morning, Wyatt.
Good morning, Justin.
Wyatt and I are excited to share God's word with you this morning. We're both youth ministers here at Hope, and we're so grateful for God's word and the ability to gather and to hear this word that goes out. So whether you're here in this room or you're joining us online or you're listening to this on a podcast, thank you for being here, and we trust that God's word is going to do all that he has in store.
Yeah, like Justin said, we are excited to be up here to preach together, to share in this moment with you, but we also, with our youth ministries kicking off in just a week and a half, we wanted to get our youth involved in the sermon as well. So we went out and we asked them, what is it that you love about the ministries that you get to be a part of? And so they answered, so go ahead and take a look.
Fun.
Powerful.
Uplifting.
Extraordinary.
Christ-centered.
I would say Selah, which is a word from the Bible that is another way to just say a moment of calm and just a moment to reflect.
I love how we all come together as a community.
Ignition really connects me to others.
It's just a big Jesus party and you learn different Bible stories.
And it's like a little mini concert.
When we're in a big space like Hope, community is really important to me.
Because I get to hang out with my friends and be excited to learn about God with them.
The sense of community and that everyone belongs.
Play on the playground.
Just come. You're going to have lots of fun because you already know me and you're going to know a lot more people too.
You get to meet new people and connect with God. They're very welcoming of anybody of any sort of background.
You get to sing about this really cool guy.
It's the world's biggest Jesus party.
You will feel very included and it'll help you connect with others, make friendships, and most importantly, get closer to God.
It's very welcoming and fun, and once you're there, you're never going to want to leave.
You'll walk out with at least a handful of new friends, and you'll definitely learn something about Jesus here.
I would say to expect is a lot of fun music and a lot of energy to hang out with your friends and other people that you might know.
You're never going to feel left out there.
Can we praise God for the youth we have in this church? Yeah, they really are. They're amazing. And I'll tell you what, God is really doing something in the hearts of our young people. It's happening here. Justin and I, we get to see it all the time in our jobs. But it's also happening outside of these walls. I mean, there are so many statistics about how the youth are coming back to the church, how the youth are recommitting to Jesus. And it's amazing. It's really inspiring. The hardest thing about putting that video together, actually, was not finding enough students who would be excited to share with you all about their faith. It was actually narrowing down the list. It was like, we have so many students, but we just don't have enough time to get them all here to talk about it. And now, we get to see that every week during the school year, Justin and I, on Wednesday nights. And it's really amazing. The thing that I really loved about that video is so many of them talked about connection, community, finding friends. And I think we can take their example on this. We have rally weekend next week, and after every service, we have our ministry fair. And I would encourage you, just like them, to find your spot in this church. Find your community. Find your connection. And here's the thing. You weren't going to get through this sermon without this plug, so I'll do it now. If you think maybe that, like, your place could be helping out with youth or children's ministry, we're still taking volunteers. We're a week and a half away, but we will absolutely love to have you. We have Wednesday night ministries that happen, but we also have Hope Kids on Saturday night, Sunday morning. So if any of those days work for you, that would be awesome. We'd love to have you. But even if you can't make like a weekly commitment, I would just like to invite you to just come check it out, to just come be with us on a Wednesday morning, to see these thousands of students that come together, that they're just on fire for Christ. And it's an amazing thing to witness, and I would love for you to witness it alongside of me. Now, we're wrapping up our sermon series here. It's all about the Bible. So as a part of our year theme here at Lutheran Church of Hope, we've been doing 52 for 25. 52 questions, one per week for the year 2025. We've been asking big questions about faith, about following Jesus in our lives here and now. And over the last 3 weeks, we've gone through this series, and this is our final week of it, where we've asked big, important questions about this big and important book. Questions that really, really matter. Now, I'm not gonna spend too much time on the last 3 weeks, but I would encourage you, if you miss them, go to our YouTube, our website, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Give those sermons a listen. Give those sermons a watch. They're really amazing. But today, this morning, we're actually wrapping up with this question. How can I find my place in God's story? And it's a really, really good question, especially at the end of this series, because I think it's easy to fall into this trap where we go, okay, well, the Bible, all about the Bible, that's God's story. That's the story of God with his people and the people with him, and that's where God's story happens, and it's over here. And all of that's true, but I think the trap we fall into is, that's over here, and here's me and here's my life. Here's my family and my job and my friends. And yeah, maybe I can read God's story a little bit and I can learn something from it, and maybe it'll help me out in my life, but I'm not really a part of God's story in that way, am I? I want to tell you, in John's gospel, in chapter 17, there's this really tense moment. Jesus is literally, he knows what's about to happen to him. He's waiting to be arrested. He's waiting to be dragged away, to be crucified. And it says that he takes the time to pray. He has this really intimate time with his Father. And he prays for a lot of things. But one of the things that he prays for is he prays for his disciples. And then he prays for all who would someday come to believe. So just, I hope you don't miss that. In an incredibly tense moment in his life, he takes the time to specifically invite you into his story. To specifically think of you and to ask his Father to look out for you. And so he doesn't give us the option to just kind of like sit on the sidelines and say, well, his story's over here and I can spectate it, I can read it, but I'm not really a part of it. So we ask this question, okay, how can I actually find my place in God's story? Now this time of year, I think that's a really big question to ask too, because it's back to school time. Like we highlighted, our student ministries are coming back. We've got other ministries relaunching, and there's kind of a buzz in the air. I can feel it. There's an excitement this time of year. I grew up in a little town just north of Cedar Rapids. It's called Center Point. This is my high school mascot. His name's Stormin Norman. That's his real name. I didn't make that up for you all this morning. And I think he's incredible. Some of you might be like, what is that? I won't go into the whole thing, but Stormin Norman, that's my high school mascot. And in my hometown, the last Friday of every summer, right before the school year started, we had what was called the fall activities kickoff. Maybe some of your communities have similar things, but what would happen is the whole town, small town, about 3,000 people, felt like the whole town would come out to the high school football field, and there'd be a football scrimmage, and the band would play some songs, and they'd bring out all the different fall sports and activities one by one onto the track. And I ran cross country. I didn't play football in high school, as you can tell. And so they had the whole cross-country team out there on the track at the halftime of the scrimmage, and they'd list each member, and you'd step up and wave, and your mom would cheer super loud, and everyone else would just kind of politely clap. But it was a big kind of moment in the year. Like, even before, I have older brothers, even before they were old enough to be involved in these activities, we'd go to this thing. I'd give Storm and Norman a hug, you know. We'd go to this because the whole community, whether you had kids or grandkids or if you were just a part of the community, it felt like this was a time of the year where things just like, it's exciting to be a part of it. It's exciting to kind of switch that calendar over into the fall. And I know a lot of you are feeling a similar way this time of year as well. But also what comes with that is a lot of things on the calendar, right? A lot of things, a lot of busyness, things starting to fill up. I went to high school at Center Point Urbana, but I went to college at South Dakota State University. I don't know if he has a name. It's not Norman. I don't know what it is if he has one. Don't mess this up with University of South Dakota, who Iowa State got a big win over last night, yesterday. Yeah, I'm an Iowa fan, so I'm just pandering right now. But Iowa also got a big win last night, so we're all happy this morning. Yeah, let's clap for that too. But I went to South Dakota State University. That's in Brookings, South Dakota. It's give or take 6.5 hours away from my hometown. Now, I was also a student athlete. I ran track, so like for over half the year, we had track meets. So I'd be pretty busy on the weekends. Then on top of that, during the summers, I worked at a Bible camp. And so I tell you that just to tell you that I was super busy in college, and I was far away from my parents. And so because of that, only a handful of times throughout the year would I actually get to see my parents and my family, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, maybe spring break, that's about it. And so an important part of my life at that time especially was this weekly habit we got into, where at least once a week, I'd call my parents, either speakerphone or FaceTime, and we'd just talk, we'd connect. 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half sometimes. We'd talk about all sorts of stuff, faith and school and work. And I remember one time, it's like middle of February, cold, dark, winter's never ending type of time of year. It's my sophomore year of college, I FaceTimed my parents. And my dad's there in the living room, and my mom's next to him, and then behind them is my younger brother. He was a junior in high school at the time. He's making dinner in the kitchen. And so like a minute in, we're chatting, just, hey, how's it going, yada, yada. And then in the background, my brother who's making dinner, he just goes, oh, mom. My brother doesn't sound like that, but in my head he does because he's my younger brother. He goes, oh, mom, there's bugs in it. And she's like, what? He's like, there's bugs in it. There's bugs in the rice. And now my family, we're Rice-A-Roni people. Do you guys know what Rice-A-Roni is? Maybe you have another brand, but it's like the 90-second. You rip the thing, throw it in the microwave, and you're eating. But these things are like sealed. There's no way there's bugs in this thing. But my mom gets up. It's kind of like a moment of silence. And then the next thing is my mom, oh my gosh, there is. There's bugs in this rice. My dad hands the phone to my mom, and she shows me, and I'm not kidding you, as many bugs as there are grains of rice, these little tiny black bugs just filling it. It's disgusting. So obviously, you're like, we throw that away. We don't eat that one. It's like, should we just toss the whole box? Do we even need to check? What's the backup plan for dinner? Things start going sideways. So that goes on for a couple minutes. My mom hands the phone back to my dad, and this is how the conversation ends. This is a real quote from my real dad. He looks me dead in the face through the camera, and he goes, Wyatt, gotta go. We're about to get free Rice-A-Roni for life. And then he hung up the phone. I didn't even get a chance to say bye. It was just end of discussion. And let me tell you, you don't have to ask me out in the atrium. He did not call corporate, okay? They don't have Rice-A-Roni at home in any supply, okay? Now, that was funny. I saw some friends that night. The next morning, we talked about it. We laughed, all this. But I remember it pretty clearly. And I remember, like, the next couple days, just feeling a little bit off. And I was like, what's going on? And then I realized, like, this important staple part of my life, where I get to connect with my parents, with my family, we got completely distracted. All we did was talk about some bugs and some rice. And, like, the way that we connect every week was taken away from us because of that distraction. So I know this time of year gets busy. And I know that if you haven't hit it yet, a lot of you are looking at your calendars the next week, 2 weeks, and you're going, there's about to be a lot of bugs in our rice this fall. There's a lot of things filling up that calendar. So this question here, I'm gonna put it back on the screen. How can I find my place in God's story? How can I find my place in God's story? Man, we've got practices, we've got concerts. Even if that's not the stage of life you're in, it's like a lot of things kind of run on a school year schedule and relaunch in the fall. We're doing it here. But a lot of things start to take our time. And you're saying, how can I find my place in God's story? I'm just trying to figure out what we're gonna have for dinner tonight. I'm just trying to get through bedtime. I'm just trying to get that thing at work done before the end of the week. How can I find my place in God's story? What a big question. And maybe for you it's not busyness, but maybe it's a week like this week where you read that headline, that another one of those headlines, and it just feels like a punch in the gut. And you go, how can I find my place in God's story? I don't even know if this story makes any sense. Like, what do we do when that happens? And I'm not standing up here to tell you, like, get your things off your schedule, because I'm just going to be honest with you. I've been there. And I know that when I'm busy or when tragedy hits, I realize some of the things that I think I'm building my life on that seem sturdy, that seem great when life is going great, all of a sudden something happens and they're not so sturdy. All of a sudden, the foundation that I thought was unshakable shakes a lot. We had VBS this summer like we always do, and I had a blast. It was my first VBS here at Hope, and it was just so much fun. And one night during the second week night service, I wandered into the bridge, and third graders are doing craft. And there's this little boy, he's working on a coloring sheet, and I sit down, I'm chatting with him, we're laughing, I'm getting to know him, you know. There's this lull in the conversation, maybe 2 or 3 seconds. Nothing is said. And then he doesn't even look up from his coloring sheet. He's sitting there working on it, and he just goes, "I just love being here. Because I just love being here." And it was so simple, but man, it really stuck with me. And a big part of my job, I think, is to ask that question consistently. Like, why do our students, why do our youth love being here? What is it that gets them in the building on a Wednesday night? What is it that keeps them coming back on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night or a Wednesday night or at VBS? What gets them here? And yeah, in that video that we showed, a lot of them said like friends and fun, and they like the songs and the skits during VBS and all of that stuff is incredible, and we're gonna keep doing it. But make no mistake about it, they can go anywhere and have fun with their friends, but yet they keep choosing to be here, and what is that? Now, Justin and I will be the first to admit it's not our programming. We work hard at it. We want it to be good, but that's not what really keeps them sticking around here. They're looking for something more sturdy. They're looking for something authentic, something real, something like this. This is what keeps them coming back. And I think we're searching for that same kind of thing. Again, we can take so much. Like, I am inspired by our youth. I learned so much from them. This is another thing we should take from them. Like, unabashed, unashamed, they're here for the word of God. Our Bible reading this morning, I'm just going to read the first verse from Matthew 7, verse 24. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock." Look at this house. See, what I love about this picture, there's some damage to that house. Maybe the caretakers got a little busy at one point. Maybe some storms came. Maybe tragedy struck at one point. But it's built on rock, and it's standing strong. It's been through some storms. It's been through some busyness, but it's standing on solid rock. It is unmoved. And so, yeah, you saw the video where we asked our students about our ministries, but we wanted to go even a little bit deeper. We wanted to ask them about their relationship with the solid rock, with the Word of God. Take a look.
I read the Bible whenever I can pick it up. I pick it up before a soccer game. I pick it up before an audition.
I read my Bible every morning right after I wake up, so it's just me and God right there from the get-go.
And I try to do it in my room alone, just so I can have my private time with God.
Every day, like when I'm down or like I need some help and I need God with me, that just kind of helps me like refresh all of the miracles He's done for me.
Moses parting the Red Sea, because I think that's really cool. Of course, it's one of my favorites. I have many favorites. It's not every day you just see ocean just splitting.
David and Goliath!
My favorite verse is Matthew 17:20, just because it talks about how having the littlest faith can bring you to the highest places.
I like Philippians 4-13, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
James 1:22 talks about how you need to not only talk about God's word, but you need to show it and show people what He means by what He says.
Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." This helps me because lots of times I just want to be fast, but you just got to stop and not go through the motions.
My favorite story would probably be the prodigal son, because it really just shows how God's love shines through.
Psalms 46:5. Which is talking about how God is gonna lead her through things. And I like that since I am a girl. And I just like how it just really referenced is in my life.
Probably Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like how they're just not burning at all, and then they just walk out.
My favorite Bible verse is Jeremiah 29:11. It reminds me that God has a plan for me even when I don't see it.
Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things.
Psalms 139:1-18. Because I read it at my aunt's funeral, and she loved God so much, so it just means a bunch.
I love the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. It just paints such a beautiful picture of our relationship with God and how we were once lost, but now we are found.
My favorite Bible story is David and Goliath, because there's always gonna be giants in front of our goals, but God can help us knock them down.
The Word of God is alive and powerful. And you don't need to just take my word for it. You can hear it in the voices of our students. The Bible says that in Isaiah 55, that God's word goes out and it accomplishes all that God has in store. It doesn't come back empty or void. God is on the move in the lives of young people. And as you heard Wyatt say, that is our goal every time we gather with students, is to share God's word with them so that God can do what he's doing in their life, so that he can transform their lives. And it's evident. It's evident here in this church, as you heard about Vacation Bible School, on weekends with Hope Kids, and on Wednesday nights. There is space for more students and more kids to come and to encounter God's word. That's an open invitation. Bring your friends. But it's not just here at this church. There are other churches. There are ways that God is moving through schools and through sports teams and outside of these walls. The evidence is all around us. Maybe, here's just one piece of evidence. Maybe you or someone you know was recently at the Iowa State Fair for the Forrest Frank concert. Now, if you don't know Forrest Frank, that's okay. He's a Christian artist, and he does TikTok dances, so that's, I don't know if he does them, but there's TikTok trends. But the State Fair has this tradition. On Thursday night, the first night of the fair, they have a Christian artist, a worship leader, come and sing. And this was the first year that it was sold out. Over 15,000 people showed up to praise God. God is on the move, especially in the lives of young people. The stats are coming in. The surveys are coming in. It is easy to see, especially you can see it online as well. There's a movement. You can call it a move of God, a Holy Spirit movement, a revival, if you will. God is getting connected through young people, through his word. Now, what I want to tell you a story about Forrest Frank is he was here just a few weeks ago in August, but the month before in July, he fell while riding his skateboard and he broke his back. Now, if you follow him on Instagram, you know this story. And he's a creator, and so he had an opportunity to do one of two things. Because he's always sharing his faith through songs and through his testimony online. And when things are good, it's easy or easier to share your faith. But when he fell and he broke his back, an ambulance came, took him to the hospital. The x-rays showed two of his vertebrae were broken. He could retreat and distance himself, or he could keep praising God through the pain. And what he did is he chose to continue to praise God through the pain. And as a songwriter, he wrote a song. He wrote a couple songs, actually. One's about turning lemons into lemonades. It's really good. But the song I want to point you to is one that's called God's Got My Back. In his brokenness, he wrote these lyrics: even when I fall or get attacked, even when I'm low and full of lack, even when my soul is full of sorrow. You ever felt that way before? Down, under attack, low. He says, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Why is that? Because God's got my back. He was laying in bed in his brokenness, and he was still praising God through the pain. What a public testimony. What an inspiration to say, I'm going to praise God on the good days and in the midst of the storms. Where does that kind of faith come from? Well, a couple weeks later, he stood up and he was healed. And he said, I don't know what it is, but I'm standing again. And cynics will say, well, I don't know, was his back really broken or whatever? He's just saying, I've been praising God and I'm praising him whether I have pain or if I am full strength. And so then he showed up at the fair. But something about his public testimony, it inspired other people. Maybe you've heard of this other Christian artist. His name's David Crowder. And he just shortly after Forrest Frank broke his back, he broke his legs. And so there's this back and forth online where he says, would you ever want to write a song with me? And so I promise, I'm going to tie this all together. So they wrote a song, and it says, I put my faith in Jesus. I put my trust in God. All other ground is sinking sand. So I'm standing on the rock. Sound familiar? That's our Bible passage for today. It's God's word. Only God's word has the power while someone's laying in a hospital bed with a broken leg that they can say, I'm standing on solid rock. Something beautiful about that testimony, and it points us back to our scripture for today. And so I want to point you to the scripture. When we're teaching young students, we don't want to diminish or water down God's word, but we want to simplify it so it can become clear. And so what I want to do is I want to put it side by side. And in this case, I want to highlight the similarities. I want to highlight the things that are the same. So there's a wise and a foolish builder. That's different. But both build a house. Both build a house. And the truth is we're all building something. Maybe you're building a career, or you're building your family, or you're building your identity, or your online profile. You're building something. And Jesus didn't give instructions for what materials to use or how big the structure should be, because he was less concerned with what was going on above ground. He said, before you start to build, I want you to pay attention to what you're building on. Before we get too busy in life, building and doing and moving, that we would just be still and we would focus in on what our foundation is, and that we would build on the solid rock. So the first thing is everybody's building. And the second thing is, did you notice that the storms come for both? Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Have you ever been through a storm before? I want to tell you a story about a time a storm impacted my life. I was at home, and my dad called. And he said, Justin, are you watching the weather? I looked out the window. It's perfectly clear blue skies, sunny, 72. I said, no, I'm in the Des Moines area. I said, no, it's clear here. And he's my mom and dad, they live in Albia in southern Iowa. And I said, no, what's going on? He said, well, in northern Iowa, in Belmont, there's a storm. Now, what you need to know is my wife and her parents are from Belmont. Her parents live in northern Iowa, in Belmont. He said, there's a tornado headed to Belmont. So I clicked on the news, and I looked, and there it was. John McLaughlin, the voice of my childhood. My dad had a job where he had to watch the weather all the time, and so he was just talking us through the storm. Oh, how I appreciate those who can talk others through a storm. And he's pointing out and he's saying, there's a tornado confirmed on the ground and it's heading to Cattleman's. You know how they can mark the roads and things, and so this landmark, Cattleman's. What you also need to know is my wife's parents have owned a restaurant for over 30 years in Belmont called Cattleman's. So I quickly tell my wife, I said, Brenna, there's a tornado headed to Cattleman's. She gets on the phone, calls her mom, no answer. She calls her dad and she says, Dad, I'm seeing that there's a tornado headed to Cattleman's. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Great. What we didn't know right before that is just a few minutes before that, he was out mowing on the lawn at Cattleman's, headphones on, just focused, when he got a call. Now, it wasn't my wife. He had got a call before she called him. It was one of their employees who was on their way to come to work, but the car wouldn't start. And so this employee said, Dwayne, would you ever come and get me and bring me to work? And so he stopped mowing, and he left Cattleman's. I want to pause real quick, because sometimes things happen that slow us down. And sometimes it seems that God's wanting us to slow down so that we won't miss it. But could it be that God also wants to slow us down sometimes so that we do miss it? So when a storm is coming, we're not in the way. So he goes and he starts to pick up this coworker, and he calls his wife, my mother-in-law, and he says, Deb, you need to go out to Cattleman's because they're going to need extra help in the kitchen getting things ready. I can't be there like I was planning to be. So she goes out. And when she pulls into the parking lot, she looks over to her left and she takes this picture. Yep, it's a tornado. John McLaughlin knows exactly what he's talking about. It's coming through.
And so she quickly springs into action. She goes into the kitchen. She says, Anthony, their cook. She goes, we got to get out of here. There's a tornado just across the field. So they get out and they leave, go back into town to safety. And then moments later, destruction. I mean, the tornado went right through Cattlemen's. And in a moment, over 30 years of memories, of livelihood, of birthdays and anniversaries and a celebration and laughter and karaoke nights, gone. Never to fill that space ever again. Storms can do that. They can shut things down instantly. And so what do we do? What do we do when a storm hits? How do we respond? How do we make sense of why? Why did it take this path? Storms are interesting like that. My wife and I, we went up there that same night. And the next day we went out and I took this picture of the salad bar. It was bizarre to me that just on the other side of the room, the air conditioning unit had been lifted up, carried over the highway and into the river. And there was still lettuce in the salad bowl. Unbelievable. Sometimes a storm will do that. It's incredible how just over here, something can be completely destroyed. And yet other things remain. It's the power of a storm. So what do we do when we see a scene like this? How do we respond? Let me tell you what I observed. In the immediate days that followed, I saw a community spring to action. I saw the people who had been served by that restaurant and by that family for so many years move into action to respond to help. My mother-in-law, she said one of the most memorable moments was she was in a conversation with someone talking about insurance or something, and she looked up and she saw this customer of theirs, this man who was over 90 years old, out in the lawn at Cattlemen's with his rake, raking up sticks. She walked over and she says, what are you doing? He said, I'm here to help. Now, he can't clean up the whole mess by himself, but he grabbed what he had and he showed up. This is a picture of the church. We can't fix it all, but we can take what we've got and we can show up when someone's in need and we can help. And the community helped clean up, but then it became clear there was another problem. All those employees that depended on that income, well, without the restaurant, there wasn't additional income. And so someone had the idea of, well, what if we have a big banquet, a fundraiser, so that we can take in money that we can give to those employees so that they can, you know, pay their bills and have that additional income met. And so the fire department said, well, we'll open up the fire station, and they set up tables and they serve this banquet of meals. And I'm telling you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people showed up. The line was around the block for hours. People just kept coming in, shaking hands and saying, I'm so sorry that this has happened to you. And to say, what can we do? They were generous with their money. They were generous with their time, with serving. And it is a beautiful picture of what we're called to do as the church. When we see a brother or sister who's in need, we show up. We bring what we have and we care for the person in front of us in any way that we can. Now, maybe for you, it's not a literal storm, it's not a tornado, but you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's the storm of disappointment. Students, maybe it's the disappointment of not making the team or not being understood or feeling mistreated. Maybe for you, it's the disappointment of the relationship that has ended or the disappointment that you somehow can't kick the habit or the addiction. You're stuck in this cycle and you're just disappointed with the fact that you can't do it yourself. You can't change. Maybe you're disappointed and overwhelmed. Maybe that despair and that darkness has started to creep in. And you go, I can't do this. And you start to retreat. Maybe you've gotten a diagnosis or someone you love have stood before the doctor and now they're talking to you, to your loved one, and saying, I don't have good news. What do we do in these storms? We show up for each other. We care, we bring what we can, and we love each other. Or maybe the storm looks like this. This is a mom from this past Wednesday who kicks off her shoes and she starts running to the school because her child needs her. And she, just like God, she's running right to us in our greatest time of need. We're called to spring into action, to love each other, to care for each other, especially in the darkest moments. Because the storms often hit at the least expected of times. But when we don't know what to say or what to do, God still speaks. And Psalm 34, 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted." God is near to us. He is with us always. He is ever present in times of danger. Jesus showed up time and time again to those who were in need. One specific time that I can recall is when his friend Lazarus died. Jesus shows up and he consoles Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. And the first thing he does is he weeps. He weeps. His heart is broken. He says, "This is not the original plan." But he doesn't just weep at a distance. His weeping, it moves him. It propels him into action. And so he says, "Show me where you've put him. I'm going to go look death right in the eyes." And the Bible says this, that Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. He is angry with the brokenness and the sin that has so embedded itself into this world that it has broken so many things, relationships, and our visions for what life should be. And so he looks death square in the eyes and he says, "Lazarus, come out." He'd been dead for 4 days. But they rolled the stone away and the dead man came out alive. Because when Jesus speaks, even the grave has to obey. That's power. That's the God we serve. That's the God that we worship. Now, some people will say, "That's great for Lazarus. I'm glad he did that for him. But what about me? What about my brokenness? What about my world? Where's God in my world?" This isn't the end of the story. You see, Jesus, just the next week after Lazarus was raised from the dead, just the next week, he, as you heard Wyatt say, was in the garden, and he was praying for you. And when he laid down his life on the cross, he spoke, these were his final words. He says, "It is finished." He says, "Death and its power, it's finished. Sin and the powers of evil, it's finished. It no longer has power. I'm putting it to death." You see, the Bible tells us this really good news, that while we were utterly helpless, while we were still far from God, while we were still stuck in our sinful behaviors and our patterns, while we were still disconnected from our Creator, at just the right time, Christ died for us. You see, to put it another way, it's before you ever knew there was a problem that needed to be fixed, Jesus had already provided a solution. And he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." He has made a space, a place for you. He has prepared a place for you in his story. And the invitation goes out. And it brings us right back to our scripture verse for today. Now, this time I want to highlight the differences, because there's a wise and a foolish builder. Everybody hears these words, Jesus says. They've heard this invitation, this good news, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. That there is life after death, and it is found in the name of Jesus. That is good news, and that invitation extends to you. You are not too far from God. You are not too busy. You're not too disconnected. He meets you right where you're at in the midst of the storm. And he's calling you into this relationship. But now we have to respond. We have to respond to this grace that God has given us. This grace, this free gift, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It is not something that you have earned. No one can boast about it. It is only God and what he's done. But we get to respond. And so today I want to give you a chance to respond. I want to create space where we can just sit and respond to this command from God to obey. And I want to start with this simple verse from Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still." It's an invitation from God to be still. Not just to still our bodies and don't blink or don't cough. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's a posture of our heart to just be still in this place. And this isn't the whole phrase. It says, "Be still and know that I'm God." with all the kindness and love in my heart, it's a reminder that you are not God, and neither am I. That we don't have to fix the whole world on our own. But we can show up with what we've got and love the people right in front of us. And so what I want to do is I want to invite Jacob and Isaac to lead this time of worship. And as they pour out this song of praise, I want you just to sit and as you ask this question, God, where are you at in my story? Where's my place in your story? That you would just let the word of God, as it rolls across the screen, as you would let that word of God speak. Take a listen.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard. But to hear what you would say, a word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Oh, a word of God, speak to me. Yeah. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. 'Cause all that I need is to be with you. And in the quiet, hear a voice, a word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Ooh, word of God, speak to me. Oh, word of God, speak. Speak to me. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. So I'll be still and know you're God. Thank you. be still and know you're God. Oh, yes, I'll be still and know you're God.
The Word of God is alive and powerful. And his name is Jesus. And he has a place for you in his story. And he has a place for you in this church. The invitation is just to show up, to bring what you have, to care for those around you. And so let's gather again this time next week for Rally Weekend. In fact, let's meet 15 minutes earlier. How about 9:15? And we'll be here and we'll rally and we'll ask God to show us where he would have us go next and how we can serve and love and care for each other as well. I want to leave you with one last picture. It was almost a full year after the tornado hit Cattlemen's that my in-laws reopened. And it was in a new space and a lot of things had changed and there was a lot of challenges. But there was one thing that was the same, that salad bar. They had cleaned it up, scrubbed it down and thrown away the old food and they had put out a new buffet. And it is a picture and a reminder that God can still do something powerful even through a storm. That there's still a way for you and for I to be made new. You still have a purpose even after the pain. And that we can serve others a good Sunday buffet. Now go in peace to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a great rest of your day. There's prayer partners up here as well.